I'm really delighted to be here to talk about a project that I'm just so pleased that we've been able to do in the last few years, and that's our Glass Walls Initiative. And I'm going to give you the first public peek at a new video that we're going to be releasing next week. So true or false, if slaughterhouses houses had glass walls, everyone would be a vegetarian. Well, that's what the animal rights activists want us to believe, and I think that I have proof that that's not the case. That's not what happens when you show people what goes on inside a meat packing plant. We saw this first with the great video that was mentioned, that was done by Cargill on the Oprah Winfrey Show. That was a very courageous move on Cargill's part to let Lisa Ling in. And it paid off, and our members started to say, maybe we need to do something just like it. So let's look at general social trends before we jump into our actual program. I mean, we know that corporate trust has plummeted. A 2012 Gallup poll showed that 60% of Americans think corruption is widespread among companies. Now, why would they think this? Well, you know, just a few corporate names to answer that question. We've had major controversies that have really shattered trust. And there's a big demand for transparency. Less privacy is the new norm. We let it all hang out. Boundaries are different, especially among our young people. Reality TV has transformed the way we think about our lives and about other people. Social media is a tell-all. We're all tweeting exactly what we're hearing today, and a whole lot more. You know, we're sharing photographs like this one, and these kinds of images. We're having babies on TV. I mean, it's incredible what we can tune in to see now in a reality TV format. The transparency demand is growing. The younger generation is transmitting their lives on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. I was laughing. My son has just started tweeting. And he goes to a Catholic boys' school in D.C. called Gonzaga. And our family priest now follows him on Twitter. And I guess he wasn't thinking. And our family priest is a crazy guy at Georgetown. And he tweeted, "If God loves me, why do I have to know so much about Saint Osprey?" It was some name I'd never heard. And all of a sudden, this tweet comes right back in his feed that said, "Because Saint is a whole lot smarter than a couple of boys on I Street." And I just thought it was funny. Couldn't get away with anything. I'm really glad the priest is following him, because that'll help me ensure that nothing bad goes out, or that I'll hear about it if it does. But anyway, you know, we've got the younger generation sharing everything all day long, and they're coming to expect the same of corporations. Now, many of us know supermarket guru Phil Lempert, and in 2012, he predicted the end of the celebrity chef and the beginning of the celebrity farmer. People want to know where their food comes from. USDA has the Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food campaign, and power's definitely shifting from producer to consumer. In 2010, Edelman's Trust Barometer, which is a great measure of where consumers are, said transparent and honest practices, it's the single most important factor in corporate reputation. And so many other articles have told us the same thing. People want to know. And I don't think we've been doing a great job of telling them, but obviously people who don't like our industry have been doing a great job of sharing their perspective. So when we don't offer transparency, you know, what does a message like that convey? Well, there must be something really interesting going on behind that sign. And I think that's how people had come to feel about many aspects of agriculture, and certainly the meat packing industry. I mean, it's really incredible. I think we get used to our industry, but when you step back and think, I've heard Temple say, we are Detroit in reverse. And it really is quite an incredible job that we have to do every day, and quite a curiosity for many people. So we decided that it was time to open the doors, and some of it, credit goes to the Oprah Winfrey Experience. And then there were several controversial videos that came out, and I'm really sorry I missed the session earlier today when Steve Sayer spoke. I was in touch with Steve during the Hallmark Westland publicity when that was occurring. And when people asked us about what was on that video, we had to say things like, well, that's an anomaly. That's not how most plants operate. And people said, well, can you show me? Can I come in a plant? Can I see how you operate? Well, that was not exactly the time to ask that question. No, we weren't going to let people into a plant at that time, certainly. I mean, that decision's not up to me, but no company wanted to be involved in that particular controversy. But we didn't have any videos ready to go. And so we knew we needed to prove it, and we needed to do it on deadline, and we needed to reach millions of people. And then we started to hear about Dr. Wes Jamieson's research. And he had concluded that activist depictions can precondition individuals so that they have a level of bias against animal agriculture. And he said you could inoculate consumers against these bad videos by showing them something like Slaughter Done Right, because they had nothing to measure an activist video against. Why wouldn't I believe it? I haven't seen anything else. So we went to Temple, and she said, absolutely, I will do this. She was thrilled. And so I asked her to choose two plants, a beef plant and a pork plant, but I didn't know if they'd say yes. And she chose the two that she felt were representative of the industry, that we could shoot well in, and that we could declare to be typical. Because if you remember the Oprah show, Michael Pollan commented in response to the video, well, that's a good plant, but that's not typical. So I wanted to be able to have Temple explain what was happening in a plant and say, this is a typical plant. The two companies she selected agreed immediately, and so we shot beef first, and then we shot pork more recently in January. And I don't know how many of you know Temple very well, but Temple's not a person you script. And so, but Temple and I have known each other for 20 years and we work really well together. So we kind of had an outline during the taping, and I would say, Temple, people might wonder about this. And she'd say, oh yeah, okay, let me explain that. So then she would talk in her own words. And I thought it was important too that it be in her own words. If it was some fancy glitzy video, everyone was just gonna discount it. It was important that it be genuine, it be from the heart, and it clearly be her words. And so we then edited the video down, and we had a couple focus groups take a look at it, because we had no clue how consumers were gonna react. And who better to go to than Dr. Wes Jamieson? So what we learned was that some things confused consumers. We thought it was really cool to show how we use low-stress driving tools like a stick with a trash bag, an inflated trash bag on the end, but consumers had no clue what we were why they were being used, so we had to, you know, clarify some of those things. We also had assumed that Temple would be just so widely known by everyone, but actually she needed more of an introduction. So we enhanced our introduction, and you'll see that soon. They said they were surprised by the safety measures that they saw in the plants, the kinds of gear that people were wearing to protect themselves. They were surprised by the psychology involved there and the great care and respect. These are quotes from some of the comments. They thought when Temple said livestock like to go from the dark to the light, I guess the focus group started yelling, go to the light, go to the light. And they thought that was kind of funny that it was a light at the end of the tunnel. People said they felt better because they knew it was more humane. People said it was more efficient than I realized, and that was encouraging. And they said they sure seemed to be dead quick. And that's certainly our goal. That may be a very blunt way to say it, but we want to provide a rapid, humane, and painless death. They also said, we made a point. We asked Temple to explain, because one of the things we've seen in activist videos, after you stun an animal, the unrestrained hind leg twitches. And there have been allegations that animals are actually alive on the rail. And we wanted to make sure that Temple pointed that out. So in the video, she says, see this leg? This animal is dead. This is completely normal. And so people were surprised. Somebody said, I thought processing was like a wood chipper. I had no idea it was clean and sanitary. And what's best for the animals is what's best for us. But it was amazing. We were worried about how much blood, you know, we just showed sort of a short little bit of the actual bleeding. We were afraid that we would, you know, gross them out. And they said, wow. It was so, you know, so brief. I think they're sanitizing this video. So we actually showed a little bit more of the blood scene because they just thought that that was our intention. It wasn't our intention not to show. We just wanted to make it palatable. And then Dr. Jamieson did follow-up contact with the respondents to see, did it make you stop eating meat? And no, they all, if they had any concern or if it had turned them off in any way, they had all returned to eating meat. So our public affairs committee reviewed the report and gave us some feedback on how to improve it. And then we released it in August 2012 with limited publicity. We're not trying to go out and say to everybody, come watch this video. This is great. We're going to show you how we slaughter livestock. But what we're saying is, if you want to know, here it is. You know, because this is not a puff piece. This is a real, honest, and graphic look. And so we want it to be there if consumers want it. So I didn't finish that sentence. I apologize. It's not an image-building campaign, but an educational campaign. And so I was quite nervous. And I remember the night before we posted it, Temple said, Janet, I want you to be Janet Jobe. Steve Jobs gave things people didn't know they wanted yet. And so you be Janet Jobe. So she calls me Janet Jobe. Stop worrying and just do it. And so I finally did it. And now that's her permanent name for me, Janet Jobe. And so with limited publicity, I just did that screen capture. We've had about 45,000 views of the video. And we've had far more likes than dislikes. We've certainly had some comments from the animal rights community. We allow comments. The only things we don't allow is foul language. And so we have had to remove comments for those reasons. But there are certainly comments that object to meat consumption, and that's fine. We leave those up there. So here you go. Here's our pork plant video. And so I'm not going to show you the whole video because it's too long, but I'm going to show you a bit so you can get a feel for this. And then if you'd like to see the entire video, it will be released on our YouTube site next week, or you can go to animalhandling.org to see it. And the setup in the pork video is the same setup as in the beef video to explain who Temple is. So are you cueing that for me? Great, thank you.
My name is Temple Grandin. I am professor of animal science at Colorado State University. Today, we're going to visit the pork industry, starting out the day at the farm, loading the pigs onto the trucks, unloading at the plant, handling, stunning, slaughter floor. Going to show things being done right, and this is a typical, very large plant. And I'm really pleased that the American Meat Institute has working on putting these videos out, because I think we need to just show people what's done in the industry when it's just done right in a typical large plant. Well, on modern pig farm, biosecurity is important. So all the truckers, you know, wear coveralls. The truck drivers that are working outside here on the trucks, they don't go in the barn. Biosecurity is important to keep disease out. You don't want to be bringing disease in from other farms. And it's really important when we did this video that we go to the farm first before we go to the plant. Because we see when you're at the plant, pigs are coming in from all over the place, many, many different places. So you wouldn't want to bring plant germs out here to the farm. What you see right here by me is a finishing barn. This is where the pigs are fattened up for market. These animals are probably less than 6 months old. And some of the pigs didn't want to come out of the building. It's cold today. Really showing some really good handling. Yeah, they're just bringing them up there with a little rattle. And they're walking up nice and quietly onto the truck. Okay, right here he's going to use the sort board to bring them up. You know, there's a variety of different driving tools you can use. He's using a sort board and a rattle. One thing that's really important loading pigs is moving really small groups. If you take too many pigs at a time, then they pile up. And they're doing a nice job here just bringing out the small groups. The pigs are kind of curious. And they just walk up there by themselves. This particular truck is equipped with plastic panels that they can slide in here depending upon the weather. It's a cold day today, so you've got a lot of boards. But you still have to have some openings here for ventilation. In the summertime, they take all these panels off of here, so the pigs get, you know, lots of ventilation in the summertime. But depending upon the weather, they can adjust how many of these plastic boards they insert into the side of the truck. When the trucks come into the plant, they back up to the unloading bay and are unloaded. This shows the truck perfectly aligned against the unloading dock door. This is one of the things that plants are audited for. Make sure that when they back in, the truck is right up against the dock so the pigs do not step down between the truck and the vehicle and hurt their leg. The pigs are unloaded calmly. These animals are walking off the vehicle very calmly in small groups. Shows the proper way to unload them. This just shows a really good non-slip floor. They put some shavings down. Non-slip flooring is just essential for animal handling. One of the things that they're scored for in the AMI audit is to make sure that the animals aren't falling. And if you have more than 1% of your animals fall down while you're unloading a truck or handling with the plant, something is wrong with your handling and it needs to be corrected. It's really important to keep the pigs calm. And one of the things that really helps is they put solid barriers up. So as the pigs come off the truck, they don't see the people standing there. And so they put a barrier up there, and it wasn't quite high enough, so they got some red boards and they made the barrier even higher so the pigs would not see the tops of their heads. Right here we're showing tattooing the animal. The reason why they do this is so that the pig can be traced back to the farm of origin. On cattle you can use ear tags, but the problem you have with ear tags in a pork plant is later on the process, the dehairing machine will rip off all the ear tags and you would lose the pig's identity. So they have to use what they call a slap tattoo, and that number will still show up after the hair is removed from the pit. But it's important that to be able to keep the animal ID. They're nice and calm. They're kind of just wandering around and exploring. That's a really good sign to show that they are calm, and they've got a very good non-slip floor in this alley. You can see the non-slip flooring is a scored concrete. Now the pigs are moving out of the unloading area really calmly and quietly. The man is using a paddle correctly. He's tapping the pigs in the correct manner. This man has a plastic paddle stick, and he also has a large black flag that works kind of like a sort board. Out on the farm, used a heavy solid board because pigs respect a solid barrier, but that's too heavy to carry around in the plant all the time. So here he's using a big flag that acts as a solid barrier. This shows pigs in one of the large holding pens at the plant. All of these holding pens have water. In fact, it's a USDA regulation on the Humane Slaughter Act. Animals have to have access to water. And even in the alleyways, they have water nipples installed for the pigs. This shows one of the large holding pens where all the pigs are resting. It's really important to rest pigs for a minimum of 1 hour, but preferably from 2 to 4 hours before they are brought up to the stunner, because this allows them to calm down, cool off from the unloading, and during hot weather, it's really important on reducing a meat quality problem called PSE, or pale soft meat. They've got a really good stockyard here with plenty of space so they can rest the pigs. This shot shows some pigs that appear to be crowded, and activists might say that they're crowded, but actually when it's cold, pigs like to bunch together. And when you open up the shot, you can see that the pigs have plenty of room. They had just chosen to lay together. This shows large holding pens in the stockyards stocked correctly. And these yards are laid out in a herringbone. So the animals come in one end, and they go out the other. And that greatly improves traffic flow because you have one-way traffic going through the yard. They go in one end of the pen, they come out the other end of the pen. This is showing a group of pigs walking up into the first part of the staging area that goes up to where the CO2 stunner is located. Right there, he's just bringing up a really small group, using the driving aids correctly. It's really important to bring animals calmly up to the stunning area, because the last 5 minutes before stunning is critical. If you get them all excited, get them electric prods on them, get them crazy, you are going to have pork quality problems. That last 5 minutes is absolutely critical to have good pork. Now they're moving the pigs up the alley into the CO2 chamber, and they have a powered gate that brings them up the alley, but the man is controlling that gate. In fact, it has what's called a proximity switch. When he can control that gate just by touching it. And that's important because it's against the humane slaughter regulations, drag pigs, and you must make sure that the powered gates never ever drag pigs. The way the CO2 machine works is the pigs get into a conveyance called a gondola. It's sort of like getting on an elephant. They walk into this gondola, and maybe five or six pigs will fit in the gondola, and the sliding door shuts down, and then it's lowered down into the CO2. And it goes about 30 feet into the ground, to 90% CO2, and then it comes back up, and after the pigs are anesthetized, they're dumped out. By law, pigs must be stunned before they are slaughtered. Stunning makes them insensible to pain. And when you use a method such as CO2 stunning or electrical stunning, it must induce a state of surgical anesthesia. That is the law. On the other side of the chamber, the anesthetized pigs will dump out, and they'll be very, very loose and floppy. Some pork plants use electrical stunning instead of CO2. And in electrical stunning, electric current is passed through the brain and through the heart, render the pig unconscious and stop the heart. And it's done correctly. Insensibility is instantaneous. One of the differences between the CO2 stunning and the electrical stunning is after electrical stunning, you are going to see a lot of kicking. And part of that kicking is the grand mal epileptic seizure. It's essential with electric stunning that you induce a grand mal epileptic seizure. And when you hang the pigs up on the line, there will be a lot of kicking, similar to what you see in cattle after captive bolt. And that is normal. That will happen in properly stunned animals that have been rendered insensible. Right here, they're putting the shackles on the one back leg of the anesthetized pigs. And then after they hang up, there'll be a person that will bleed the pigs. This shot right here shows bleeding the pig, really typical bleeding.
Of course, this is the hardest part.
Doing a really good job. It's really important to get a good bleed. This plant employee is doing a really good job. Here you see.
Okay, we can stop the video there.
And as you can see, I mean, for some of you who've never seen it, you might be going, wow, that's something. I'll tell you one thing, one reason I'm really glad that we have this video now. I don't know how many of you have had the experience of hearing about somebody or having your own child shown food ink in high schools, but it happens a lot. And I got a phone call from my sister saying, Caitlin won't eat pork anymore. And I said, why? And she said, because you apparently squeezed the pigs to death. And so I didn't know what she was talking about. So I got on the phone with her. I said, what did you see? She said, well, my health teacher showed us food ink. And so I looked at the movie and I realized that they were shooting from an odd angle. And if you saw the footage in there and them going into the CO2 chamber without narration, and there was no proper narration in that associated with that clip in the film, you might actually conclude that, and she did. And so this is actually really helpful to have something that truly explains what you're seeing, because now we can point to it. In addition, next week we are going to be posting a brochure, downloadable, and we'll also print it and be available. I think this will be very useful to ag teachers and to people who want detailed information about how we handle and slaughter animals in our plants. This is not, you know, a top line consumer brochure. This is really for people who are seeking more information. And so we decided to use the glass walls theme. If meat plants had glass walls, what would happen? And this shows you some of the interior. And so some of these shots are actually photos that we took that are part of our beef and our pork video. And so we just explain the process. We also show the quality impact of stressed animals being slaughtered. You can see PSC pork, dark cutting beef, and a bruise on a pork loin that shows why there's a true economic incentive in addition to an ethical imperative to handle animals humanely. And then there's actually a frequently asked questions section with Temple. And the first question she asks is, do livestock know they're being slaughtered? Which she says is the number one question she gets. So implications for the future. I think that the demand for transparency is going to intensify. It's not going to ease. And we really have to show all aspects of our business before they are shown for us. We learned that lesson on another issue, lean, finely textured beef last year, when we really didn't have good video initially to explain what lean, finely textured beef was. And so the media told the public for us using a picture that wasn't even the product. But in doing this, we educate people, and we get credit, I hope, for our willingness to be open. I wanted to show you one other thing. I've been on a crusade. I love young meat scientists. I go to the Reciprocal Meat Conference every year. And so I said, let's do a social experiment, and I gave them T-shirts to wear. Got me a question asking me, I'm a meat scientist, and I've been asking them to wear them in public places and see what happens. And I was kind of nervous. I thought, are people going to scream at them? Are they going to throw things at them? What's going to happen? But I've had some really good feedback. It was really weird. I went to see a member, and I had no idea. This particular woman who I'd met at the Reciprocal Meat Conference was the intern at this particular member company, and she was wearing a shirt the day I arrived. She was just thrilled to show me. And she sent her report in, and she said that the most common questions she got when she wore it in grocery stores were related to food safety, antibiotics, and general meat science. It was a good conversation starter. She would recommend others do it, and nobody screamed at her or threw something at her. So in summary, I think transparency is no longer optional, and it can take many forms. It's not always going to be perfect. We saw an article last week where the poultry industry did a great job being transparent, providing a plant tour, and a journalist just wrote a scathing report that was really unfortunate. But I don't think that those isolated incidents should discourage us, because I think that the vast majority of people will find out, wow, that was really not what I expected. That seems to be the reaction. Videos like the two we have created are very useful. We are getting requests like crazy from ag teachers who can't access YouTube in the classroom. So we are providing DVD versions to them. And I'm excited to send them the pork video and the brochure to go with it. And I just think that, in general, wearing your occupation and your pride on your sleeve can really facilitate a constructive dialogue. And that's really what we need to be doing at this point in time. Thank you.